This is Rebecca Jernigan, your tour guide into discovery, coming to you live simulcast from the heart of America to around the globe via the World Wide Web, terrestrial radio, satellite, and podcast. Let's journey together into the realms of the unknown to the known in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth. Good evening, everyone. Well, tonight I am not in the studio. I am away for business, but we'll be back live next week with some really great guests. But more on that at the end of the show. Now, the chat line, however, is going to be open tonight, so as you're listening to my two great conversations with my guest, you can interact with each other. I only ask that you keep in mind that this feature is used to interact with other listeners of the show and to connect more people in a positive way, so please respect the rules of the chat feature. And a huge big welcome to the newest member of the Journeys family, Spiritualist Radio, bringing the connection closer. They're from the UK. All right. Now, this is an internet station dedicated to the spiritualist community. Thanks, Jamie. And, of course, welcome to all of the affiliates of the Journeys with Rebecca Radio Network. You can check them out and more. Go to my website, journeyswithrebecca.com, and thank you for tuning in. And I do want to let everyone know to have a great and happy Thanksgiving holiday and to remember that it is a day to give thanks. Now, tonight's show is just really going to be full of all kinds of great energetic information, literally. I'm going to get to my guest information in just a minute, but first, to keep up with all the changes going on, be sure to read the Journeys news section for the latest and most up-to-date changes and events going on. And, of course, I'd be remiss if I didn't say thank you to the wonderful sponsors, American Association of Professional Psychics, Fate Magazine, Universal Learning Series, and PerfectlyOrganic.net. Okay, tonight's great show. The two guests. First one is Dawson Church, Genie in Your Genes. And coming up in the second hour is Puran and Susan Barr, Energize Your Heart. Now, these two shows will relate to each other. They're both on energies and healing. Now, even though I'm not here tonight, I welcome your comments or questions that I will follow up on when I return to the studio. So email me at mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com. Okay, so let's tell you a little bit about tonight's first guest, Dawson Church, PhD, the genie in your genes. He's going to be talking about epigenetic healing, and he relates stories about its simple and effective process. Now, Dawson founded the Soul Medicine Institute, a non-for-profit institution dedicated to the education and research into science-based medical intervention, which uses consciousness and energy as the primary modalities. So initiatives of the Soul Medicine Institute include the first database of energy psychology, clinical case histories, and studies evaluating these new techniques for treating things like post-traumatic stress, depression, and pain. Now, while our conversation with Dawson, you're going to learn how very simple and very effective this work has been. You know, this truly is groundbreaking and much-needed focus on the health and healing of humanity. You're definitely going to want to stay tuned for that, and of course, for the second half, you're going to be excited and delighted with this great information. So, let's journey together. Stay with us.
You're a small business owner, but you're not advertising. You believe that the economy is still stagnant, that consumers are hanging on to their money. You think maybe you'll spend a little on advertising once things start to pick up, but you know what? By then, it'll be too late. Your competitors will already be advertising and taking a big fat chunk of your market share. You'll have totally missed the boat. The train will have left the station, and there you'll be standing all alone on the platform, watching slack-jawed as customers pass you by. Why? Because they don't know you're there. Because you didn't advertise. Because you didn't think it was worth it. Every moment of every day, someone is buying something. People are shopping right this second, making choices, making purchases. And if you're not talking to them, someone else is. Advertising greases the wheels of commerce, fuels the engines of economic expansion, connects consumers with companies and buyers with sellers. Advertising. It works. Your competitors know this. Why don't you? A message from the Radio Advertising Bureau, Adweek Magazine, this radio station, and the famous Radio Ranch.
Check out Rebecca's website for the latest Journeys news and more. Log on to www.journeyswithrebecca.com.
All right, our fabulous, fabulous guest today is Dawson Church, PhD. We are going to be talking about one of his passions in life. The book is called The Genie in Your Genes. And as you can tell by on my website and also in the newsletter, for those of you who receive it, it's not about Levi's either. Dawson, welcome to the show.
Yeah, I'm not that stylish, Rebecca.
You know, neither am I, my dear.
Yeah, my kids said to me, Dad, you were uncool before it became cool to be uncool.
You gotta love children, don't you?
Yeah, the other thing she says about genetics is, Daddy, that is so 20th century.
Well, that's okay. I used to live in the 20th century. How about you, Dean? I now live in the 21st century, so, you know, I got that duality thing going on.
Hey, I'm hoping that a lot of the things from the 21st century will quickly reverse themselves back in time and be here for us, too.
There you go. It's probably a true statement. Well, here we are. We are going to be talking about the genie in your genes. Absolutely phenomenal information here. This book is extraordinarily eye-opening, and the thing that I like most about it, Dawson, was that it was actually very easy to read. There are people that write books, and they write them out of the normal realm of vocabulary, shall I say, of, you know, just the average person. And I think what you've done here is you've put this together in a very succinct manner. You have also put it together so that anybody picking up this book, reading it, is going to be able to read it and understand it. So
yeah, I'm trying to make it understandable. And what struck me, Rebecca, as I travel and speak at conferences and scientific groups and medical groups, is that there is so much amazing, brilliant research going on, but it's in pockets. And people in these conferences talk to each other, and they're all really excited about these new discoveries, but they don't talk to other groups, and they don't talk to the general public. And so all of these things tend to remain in this little enclave of clinical practice and scientific discovery. And what I really try to do with Genie in Your Genes is share those things with, well, first of all, make them understandable to a wide audience, and then also to link the dots, because when you actually start to connect all these things together, you say, goodness gracious me, there's a medical revolution going on here, and it's almost invisible because it's so specialized that the implications are profound for how we see healing and health and psychological health and joy and well-being in the next while. So when you start to really connect the dots of all these scientific discoveries and see them in context together, then they make a whole bunch more sense than they do when you're reading, you know, abstruse scientific papers at a conference.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And I have actually had the experience where some of my past guests from years ago have sent me some of those published papers that they had done in reference to whatever the topic matter was and why they were on the show. And as I was reading it, Dawson, I was like, well, that's great. I just have not had that kind of an educational background in order to really understand the verbiage and the vocabulary. So it's way over my head. So,
well, it's even worse than that, Rebecca, because not only does the person working on the psychological test and the psychological aspects of this not understand the genetics of it, but the genetic guy doesn't understand the physics of it. And the physical guy, the physicist sure doesn't follow anything to do with the psychological arguments. So there are these little enclaves, and again, they're all doing amazing stuff, but no common language. And so Genie or Genes tries to bridge those gaps and create some common ideas and show how they all link together.
And you, honestly, you've done a really good job. And let's talk about the very first part of your book. You know, I've got the review copy. I'm sitting here looking at it. And from the very first page, this book grabbed my attention because of the little story that you told, which is really kind of a prerequisite for the rest of the conversation we're going to have here today. So I'd really like for you maybe just to begin there for the audience. It's called Epigenetic Healing. Is
yes.
The name of that first chapter in your book, and the story is amazing, so I'm going to let you run with it.
Well, the story I tell is a very typical story, but I had a temporary employee come into work one day, and just when she walked in the front door, I could see she was terribly upset, and I realized that she was not going to be able to just sit down at her desk and go to work, so I sat with her in another part of the building and asked her what was wrong, and she told me that she just got an invitation to a family reunion, and her mother had mailed her the invitation, and she was really upset and angry because she knew her father would be there, her stepfather, rather, and he had abused her physically for many, many years, and you know, pushed her around and so on, and she had just been a real nightmare for her, and so him being at this reunion was going to be a big deal for her. And then also she felt as though her mom had been complicit in it. So she had all this anger and distress about the whole situation. It was triggered by having held this piece of paper in her hands with the invitation to the reunion on it. So I asked her on a scale of 1 to 10, and this is a common technique in psychology. It's called the either the subjective units of distress or the visual analog scale, but you ask basically from 1 to 10 or 0 to 10, how strong are your emotions, or how strong is your trauma, or how big is your pain on the scale? And it's a way of getting a subjective report from the person as to how big their experience is. And so she told me it was a big number. I think it was 8 or a 9 or something like that. It was really, really high. And so I then sat her down and did just a little bit of energy work on her. I asked her to picture holding the invitation. I had her tell the story. I mean, her cheeks were flushed. She was crying. She was so upset as she pictured holding the invitation. And then I did this, again, 5 minutes worth of energy psychology work on her. And I then had her tell me again what her number was and about how she felt getting the invitation. And she said, well, it was just a piece of paper after all. You know, and she was fine with it. So she was able to discharge through energy work what would have taken her a long time in conventional counseling to reduce that degree of emotional charge. And that's the beauty of working on the energy body, is that you can bypass often all of the physical stuff and all of the mental stuff that might otherwise take you a long time to have the same effect.
And, you know, I do some energy work myself. I do some energy healing, and I can tell you that's a very truthful statement. You don't have to sit in somebody's office, you know, go in each week and or twice a week or whatever it is to have the work done. It can almost be like an instantaneous solution.
Yeah, and it's quite startling if you're used to the model, as I was before I became familiar with energy psychology. The model of therapy I was most used to was sitting in a therapist's office, and you talk about your stuff, and you get to your feelings, and you express yourself in various ways, and hopefully in the course of that therapeutic encounter, some healing or stress reduction will occur. But it's a long and arduous process, and when I first heard that if you change just the energy system, that those big emotional traumas can dissipate quickly, I was astonished, and I really didn't believe it at first. Only after I read the scientific papers behind it and seen it done on people, and done it myself with people, and on myself, did I realize that even severe traumas, like, for example, we're working now with Iraq veterans, people who've been, who've done one or two tours of duty in Iraq, and they come back, and they have severe post-traumatic stress syndrome, and we're taking them, we're measuring their stress biochemistry, their internal biochemistry, seeing what their levels of stress chemicals, stress hormones are, and we're then doing energy psychology with them and seeing what the stress profile of their internal biochemistry is after treatment. And it's quite striking that people can get a significant reduction from just, again, a very, very brief treatment. Even if they have undergone the horrors of war, it's still possible to take that that dreadful experience and drain the emotional charge from it with energy work.
And, you know, that how beneficial is that? I mean, you know, people would be walking around, you know, in a much better state of mind. You know, they're better able, capable just of being really very present instead of, you know, living in that pain and that all those memories are still there. But the pain that and the emotional charges, as you call them, are just no longer there. I mean, how beneficial is that? I mean,
yes, and the memory does remain. You still can recall the incident, but without that emotional charge. It's the emotional charge that's engaging the stress effects in your body and is causing all the bad effects that prolonged high stress can cause.
So as we go back to the beginning of this chapter, and can you explain what the term epigenetic means so that people really can get an idea of that?
It's a new term in science. It's roughly 10 years old. And the old model of molecular biology was that all the information for the processes of life resides in the DNA, and that the instructions in the DNA then, via some intermediate processes, become the actual molecules that carry out the processes of life. These are called proteins. So a gene contains the instructions for building a particular protein. And the proteins are the things that form both the structure of our body and also the life processes, the metabolism of our bodies. These proteins are the vital molecules, and they're the main kinds of complex molecules in our body. And so for 50 years, roughly, the idea that the DNA contained all the original instructions for how life happens was very prevalent. And only in the last 10, 15 years or so has enough evidence begun to surface that that DNA is in fact activated very often by other factors outside the cell. And there have been some remarkable experiments that have shown this, that it's not just having those instructions in your DNA that is significant. It also is what activates those instructions. So you can have, for example, the instructions to activate your immune system. But unless those instructions in the DNA are actually turned on or read or used by the body, nothing much happens. And so it turns out that all these external factors outside the cell are affecting the DNA, and that science is called epigenetics, or things that affect the gene from outside the cell or outside the body.
As opposed to the actual memory of that cell, which is, or the DNA, which is inside.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that makes total sense. And, you know, I'm one of those kind of people that I'm not sure how it works. I just know that it does. So you've given me another kind of opening, another avenue to kind of really look at that. So really for people that are wanting to get into energy work, they have a better understanding now of the mechanics of it, and we could probably be more effective, even more so than not before, just doing energy work.
Rebecca, people like you have seen these effects with other people they've worked with, but we haven't had good explanations of why they happen. So we know that they happen. We haven't known why they happen. I mean, how can you just, a human being, and just the energy signature of a person change their cells? We just didn't know how this could happen. Epigenetics gives us an explanation of a mechanism for how these kinds of transformations are possible in such a short period of time.
So let's go on and let's get into this a little bit deeper. You know, in here, in your book, you have, I mean, the book is just filled with, like, something that you call routine miracles, that, you know, there's also another term in here that we'll probably get into, and I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing this right. It's piezoelectric?
Yes, piezoelectricity is one of the ways in which our bodies conduct electricity. And there are several different ways we do this within our cells, but piezoelectricity is electricity produced by pressure. So when you press two surfaces against each other, you know, a simple example I give in the book is when you use the clicker on your barbecue grill or on your gas stove, you turn it to the light position and it goes click, 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 click. That's just a piezoelectric effect where a metal element is striking a ceramic plate and producing electrical spark. So, again, it's mechanical pressure producing electricity. And when we tap our bodies or rub our bodies, like with massage, we produce these small electrical currents which wind up traveling through our bodies and having effects on our electrical system. So this is one of the main mechanisms that we're looking at as things that are activating or deactivating groups of genes.
Okay, so now that you brought that up, the activation or deactivation, what does a person need to know energy-wise, and I'm talking about knowledge now, to, let's say I wanted to do some work on somebody. Let's say they're very depressed, okay, and I wanted to do some energy work on them. Is it just the intent of the energy that I wish to, you know, run through them, channel through them, whatever you wish to call it, that creates hopefully the intent, which is, you know, to lift this person's depression or find out the reason for it so that they can, you know, be conscious of it and then release it? I mean, do you understand my question, or am I being
yes,
kind of roundabout?
No, no, intent is a good thing to look at. And the answer is that intent, what we can see experimentally is that intent has an effect in certain mental and emotional states, and it does not have an effect or the same effect or the same strong effect in other mental or emotional states. And, for example, there's a state which is called heart-brain coherence. And if you move into the state where your heart and your brain are acting, are beating with this, they're beating in sync, then intention in that state seems to have a much bigger effect than intention when you aren't in that state. And so learning exactly in which mental and emotional states intention is most effective is part of this.
Okay.
And just having an intention, you know, we all know that we probably had the intention to, you know, have the man or woman of our dreams fall in love with us and have $1 million and have a yacht in the Bahamas and all the rest of those things.
Well, why don't you hang on to that thought, Dawson, because we're out of time on this. We'll come back and we'll finish up the intention conversation. You guys don't go away. We're going to be right back.
Hi, this is Rebecca Jernigan. You know, sometimes my schedule does not always allow for me to get to all the inquiries to have a reading. And sometimes I just can't get to everyone as quick as they would need answers. Well, now I have a solution. I am teaming up with my colleagues at the American Association of Professional Psychics. They are there 7 days a week with a very special group of experienced professional psychics. And they have been offering quality psychic readings by phone since 1989. You know, I also know that by using American Association of Professional Psychics, you can be sure the psychic you connect with has been tested and certified for ethics, professionalism, and proven psychic ability. So call now or anytime, 1-800-717-7887. It's still just $3.99 per minute using a major credit card or debit card. But it does get better. Here's a special offer. If you purchase time for a psychic reading from their website, you'll get a 50% discount. Go to certifiedpsychics.com. Take advantage of the savings. Readings are regularly $3.99 per minute. Why not get 50% off? And that web address is certifiedpsychics.com, or just click on the banner from my front page. So go ahead, call today, 1-800-717-7887, American Association of Professional Psychics.
Fate Magazine, providing true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate Magazine, call now, 800-728-2730, or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730 or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Hello, I'm Jane Goodall, only half of the world's forests and wetlands that existed at the start of the 20th century still exist today. We must do a far better job of protecting wildlife habitats, or environmental chaos awaits those who follow us. If you own land you want kept safe forever, the Wildlife Land Trust can help. Call 1-800-729-SAVE. 1-800-729-SAVE.
Email Rebecca with your comments to mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com. You're listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
All right. Thanks for staying with us. Today's special guest, Dawson Church, the genie in your jeans. Absolutely fabulous conversation, by the way. So I'm going to let you kind of finish up. We kind of ran out of time in the first segment, Dawson, about the intention when it comes to the energy healing aspect of it.
Yeah, and what we found is that intention in certain mental and emotional states has a big effect, and for other people it doesn't. And if we just think about, for example, a great healer, what we call a master healer, who's able to have an intention of someone being well and they're healed from a serious disease. Somebody who's not a master healer might have the same intention, but without that mental and emotional and spiritual state the master healer is in does not have the same effect. So we found that you have to move into certain emotional and physical states, and the state that's most commonly used is one called heart coherence, where your heart and your brain are both firing in the same rhythm. And in that kind of a state, it turns out that intention has much more of an effect, certainly on DNA molecules.
You know, and that's really interesting, because I actually just talked with some people that do this meditation work that talks about the rhythm of the heart and synchronizing it with the energy patterns within the cell. So this is kind of like another little leg off of this. This is very interesting how all this comes together. Dawson, interesting.
Yes, and what we found, for example, studying healers is that regardless whether they're Native American shamanic healers or Qigong masters or Christian faith healers or Catholic saints, that in the healing state, their brain rhythms are all at somewhere around 8 cycles per second. And this is also the rhythm of the Earth's electrical field.
Wow.
So this common rhythm, moving into this space of this 8 cycle per second rhythm, is where healing effects and intentions appear to have the most effect.
Wow, that just gives me the good willies to hear that. I just got this really good, I call them the good willies, that's that electrical charge that runs through this. That
hey,
tells
you're probably firing at eight cycles per second when you have the good willies, Rebecca.
I hope so, because it sure feels good. Well, you know, let's kind of move on. That was fun. Let's kind of move on a little bit. Let's talk about the relationship of emotional trauma healing and the effects that it has on the physical health.
The bottom line is huge, absolutely huge. There was a massive study done by a big hospital chain here in California called Kaiser Permanente.
Familiar with them, uh-huh.
Yeah, the big, they're about 9 million members nationwide. And they looked at the relationship of emotional trauma, like childhood emotional wounds, and the correlation between that and disease, and they were astonished at what they found. They found, this was a huge group of 17,000 adults, and they found that there was a link between unresolved emotional trauma, childhood trauma, and cancer, increased risk of heart disease, high blood pressure, diabetes, bone fractures, smoking, depression, suicide attempts, you name it, it correlates with a high degree of emotional trauma. And they were just struck, the authors of the study were just absolutely dumbstruck by how big the link is between these things. And so what, through the nonprofit I work at, one of the things we're trying to do is see if we do the opposite effect, what happens. If we actually release emotional trauma, if there is an effect on disease. And that's the subject of a whole new branch of study that's happening now, to see if as we release those emotional traumas, it follows there should be some kind of physical effect, and we're now measuring those kinds of effects.
Absolutely fabulous. I got like a million questions, but we're going to kind of move on for just a second. You know, you talked about high blood pressure, you talked about diabetes, you talked about cancer. You know, we've seen a huge increase in that. Of course, population has increased. So, you know, you can say, well, it just is, and we certainly have a much more age of information now too, Dawson, as far as people being able to communicate with each other across the world. You know, much more than what it was even, say, when I was growing up, you know, where, you know, we still had party lines, for heaven's sakes. You know, the computer, I don't even know if it was invented yet. If it was, it certainly wasn't a common term. So as we look at this and we look at all the people that have, you know, the high blood pressure, the diabetes, I mean, it seems to become like almost a normal thing for when you get to be a certain age, you'll probably have diabetes. And I would say that as I'm listening to you with these emotional traumas, I really have not met very many people in my life, Dawson, that somewhere along the way in this incarnation that they're in have not suffered some kind of an emotional trauma or physical trauma even as they were growing up, whether it be from a teacher or a sibling or a parent or, you know, what have you. So this would be something that if people could really get to that point, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, you're right, Rebecca. When you look around and try and find trauma-free people, it's actually quite hard. Almost everybody has, a friend of mine calls it normative child abuse, just incidents in their childhood that were very, very difficult for them to assimilate and work through. And so... sure, the incidence of childhood, you know, child violence and rape and so on is high and very unfortunate. And yet even lesser traumas often leave a lasting emotional impact on people's lives. And so you don't have to have had severe trauma to have your health compromised by its effects later on. And that's why this kind of healing is so powerful, because when you start to realize that, hey, I can do these small energy shifts and have these big healing effects in my emotional body, you start to be able to clean up all kinds of past traumas, and pretty soon they just don't affect you anymore. So things that would have had a big effect or been a big difficulty for you in previous times, you find, I've been astonished, for example, that as I've done emotional work myself and emotional healing, that things used to bother me tremendously simply don't bother me anymore. They just, you know, you just get healed of them, and you aren't triggered by these, you aren't burdened by being triggered by all these life ups and downs anymore.
God. Oh, I mean, you know, that it's just like my mind is just like just absolutely expanded with the benefit of this. It's amazing.
Well, you ask yourself, what does a healed person look like? What does a person look like who is completely healed, who's completely healed themselves of all their emotional traumas? What is their body going to be like? What is their mind going to be like? What is it like to live in a mind and a body where you just aren't triggered? You know, life happens, you have a fender bender, you have, I had a fender bender about a month ago, and, you know, it's the amount of emotional content for me was just about zero. I mean, just nothing whatsoever. I paid for the damage, and that was it. It was not even a blip on my emotional screen. Now, 20 years ago, it would have been a huge, agonizing emotional issue for me. But what we're finding, again, as we work with people, is that I'll give you an example. I was working with a woman at a lecture a few weeks back, and she had a shoulder problem. And for 17 years, her left shoulder was very restricted. It could, she could lift it maybe a foot away from her body, toward the front, toward the side. And so I said, well, let's work on the emotional trauma behind that. And she said, oh, I have no emotional trauma behind my shoulder. It's just that way because I used to reach behind me to get to a file cabinet drawer. And 17 years ago, and after a while doing that, I just, my shoulder got injured, and that's it. So I said, well, let's see. So again, I did a little bit of emotional trauma release work on her, and I only had about 5 minutes left in my lecture, so I had to do it very, very, very quickly. And suddenly, she regained about 30 degrees more movement in her shoulder. I mean, she stood there with this stunned look on her face. She just couldn't believe that she could move her shoulder about twice as far as she had before. In 5 minutes, just by looking at some of the emotional stuff behind that and doing some energy work on that. So you ask yourself, if we're all letting go of all of our past things, and in fact, when we have emotional traumas in our lives, traumatic events, if we aren't afraid of them, it is part of our growth journey. We know we can very, very quickly move through the energy of these things. What would our lives look like? And what would our suffering level be? And our suffering level might be very, very low, and our joy level might then be very high by default every day. It's a wonderful vision to think about that.
Well, you know it is. And, you know, let's talk a little bit about that lady, because I can tell you right now that some of the people out in the audience would probably be very much like that lady. I don't have any emotional trauma. You know, I don't have anything that's, it's because of, again, she used, the file cabinet. But I hear that from a lot of people. I truly do. So it's a form of denial, or it's a, and I don't even know if denial is actually the correct word here, Dawson. Maybe it's just not being aware. Or maybe they accepted whatever the trauma was as just part of life. I know a lot of people do that. Well, that's just the way my parents treated me, or that's just the way, you know, I grew up. It's an acceptance of that, not realizing that it really is very damaging to the little soul and the spirit of the children. And then they grow up, and then we become adults, and, you know, we're no longer the cute little child. We're now, can be an obnoxious adult, or, you know, dysfunctional, or, you know, on antidepressants or what have you. Not even understanding that to even look at that.
Yes, absolutely. And it is so heartrending for me, Rebecca, to see people as I travel and lecture. Often people are suffering so much, like this woman again, 17 years of joint limitation. And another woman I worked with also had a shoulder issue and was linked to a big emotional issue, again, many, many years before. And so years of these people's lives are taken up with the suffering, either emotional suffering or physical suffering or both, which you then realize they could alleviate in just a very brief period of time. So you really, that's why, again, through my nonprofit, we work quite hard to educate people about this, to give them the tools. Again, these things are easy to learn, they're easy to apply, they take so little time, and they are so powerful. And that, again, opens up this whole horizon for people once they've applied this, of just not being in that state of suffering that they were in before.
And, you know, I'm just, like I said, I'm kind of overwhelmed here for the moment because my brain is literally on fire, not in a negative way at all, but just thinking about all the applications and just how really life is meant to be for all of us. So let's kind of getting back to that conversation that I had with you here just a minute ago, which was about people accepting their life as it is, as that's just part of life. I know that you have some chapters in your book on belief and on prayer and all of those kind of things. Maybe we can expound on that a little bit, and we can touch some of those other areas so those that are listening maybe can help identify their own life and where they've been and what they can do to make it better.
Yeah, and I call these things epigenetic interventions because we're intervening in the process. We're doing something. We're doing something intentionally. We're doing a prayer. We're doing a attitude change. We're doing a visualization. We're doing energy medicine. We're doing heart coherence. We're doing energy psychology. We're doing altruism. All of these things have this effect, and all of these things produce these epigenetic shifts in our body. And what they shift is they shift this pervasive stress response, the fight or flight response. And if we're stressed and on edge as a frequent experience, then our body is using a lot of our internal resources to produce the biochemistry to help us meet that stress. But if we're able to instead discharge that emotional energy through, again, prayer, visualization, belief, belief can have a huge effect. There's a researcher I'll be talking to later today at the University of Miami in Florida, and her stress lab does experiments, but they found that for one group of sick patients, that a single belief correlated with a threefold rise or fall in their supply of white blood cells, part of the immune system. So big immune system effects just from a single belief. So if we intervene consciously and use the system we have of our beliefs, of our awareness, of the thoughts we think, of the feelings we have, if we use all these things consciously to reduce that stress response, then we both discharge that emotional intensity and all those emotional traumas, but we also then are having a big physical effect on our body and our health.
So when we're doing work like this, when somebody's doing work like this and we're doing whatever it takes to, you know, change beliefs or certainly to accept this healing energy, does it make a change or in the belief system of that person? I'm not even sure if I'm wording that question right. Let's say you have somebody that comes in and their belief is whatever it is, but it's negative to them. It creates some kind of a trigger mechanism so that they're not handling stress well and as you said, all the physical changes that go on within the body. So let's say you were doing some work on somebody that had a belief about, as an example, the lady I gave you is actually was a true client of mine. She had a belief that that was just the norm. You know, her life was just the norm, and she didn't recognize the trauma. It was just, that's just part of how people are raised. That was her belief. So once you do work on someone like that, what does that change the belief, or does that just give the body an opportunity to feel better, which in turn then creates the intellectual part of the self to activate that, well, I guess maybe my belief was a little different than I thought it should be.
I'd say it starts with belief, because belief is something that we choose. And I'll give you an example, again, from the University of Miami stress study. And the particular belief the patients had that had this big effect on the immune system was a belief about God. And those that believed that their illness was a punishment from a punishing God had the big drop in their immune systems. And those that believed that there was a loving God in the middle of the universe, those people had the rise in their immune systems. So that was the belief they had. So what I say to people is, look, here's a practical thing. You're a Christian, you're a Hindu, you're a Buddhist, you're a Jew, whatever you are. Your theology and your religion both has this pull of a loving God and a punishing God.
Hang on to that thought, and we'll be right back and finish that up. You guys, don't go away. There's still lots more to come.
Be sure to check out Mark Kerr's debut CD, One Drink Away from the Blues, at www.cdbaby.com. This flawless debut performance earned Mark an induction into the Blues Hall of Fame as Ambassador to the Blues for the state of Louisiana. Also, it earned him a nomination for Musician of the Year in 2006 by the Academy of Texas Music. Mark Kerr, One Drink Away from the Blues at www.cdbaby.com.
discovery and the answers that you've been looking for. With the Universal Learning Series, a set of principles for discovering your true self. Explore your past, your present, and your future. Read Your Never-Ending Life, Book 1 of the Universal Learning Series by author Sandy Andrew. Go to universallearningseries.com.
It's my first day to be a big brother. Maybe I'll take him to a movie. No, not big enough. I'll take him to a carnival. Yeah, we can go on a Ferris wheel. It's gotta be big. It's gotta be huge.
Hi, I'm Alex.
Hey, Alex. I'm Felipe. What do you want to do today?
I was thinking maybe watch the game on TV.
Yeah, cool. I was thinking that too.
When you're a mentor, it doesn't matter what you do. The important thing is spending time together. To be a mentor, go to BigBrothersBigSisters.org. A public service message brought to you by Big Brothers, Big Sisters, and the Ad Council.
Talk with an intuitive touch. Journeys with Rebecca.
All right. Thanks, you guys, for staying with us here with Dawson Church. Genie in Your Jeans. And we were talking, we left off at the last segment talking about belief systems and how they affect the immune system. So I'm going to let you kind of finish up with that if you would.
Yeah, and what I was suggesting is that because we know that beliefs affect the immune system, whatever your belief system is, move toward the positive pole. And I was mentioning that if, for example, you're a member of a religion, every religion has both the punishing God image and also the benevolent God image. And picking the benevolent God image, we know from the studies, correlates with increased physical health and a better immune system. So select your belief. And I'd say start with a belief. Use those things. Use visualizations. If you're thinking negative thoughts about a person or an event or an incident or about your own life or your body, for example, a lot of us have negative thoughts about our body, just shift them. One technique I've taught, for example, to people who are trapped in patterns of thinking the same negative thought over and over and over again is the moment you think about that negative thing, instead use that as a stimulus to think about a positive thing. So if you use your consciousness in all these ways to shift from the negative pole to the positive pole, the health effects at some point will show up too.
Well, and really, I can tell you that a lot of people's belief systems really are
toxic.
They are. They're a huge hindrance for spiritual growth, for enlightenment, for consciousness, for just operating within this third dimensional reality. I mean, you know, it becomes a challenge to get up and go to work every day. It becomes a challenge to be a participant in life.
Yeah, think about the opposite. Think about if you bound out of bed every day with such enthusiasm to go to work, you can scarcely restrain yourself. Think about if every day is an explosion of creativity. Think about if you have so much joy. Something said to me recently, you know, Dawson, what do you do to cause so much, are you just pretending to be so joyful all the time, or are you really that way?
There's that skepticism that anyone could have that.
So exuberance, how do you refashion your life so that your whole life is, you live from your soul and everything you do is a projection of your soul's energy and beauty. Suddenly the possibilities are enormous if we start to think this way and live this way. And again, what I call engineering your genes, I call these epigenetic interventions. We are literally affecting this group of genes, and this, especially this immune system response, when we take charge of our consciousness and have positive thoughts, positive beliefs, positive words, attitudes, energy, prayer, altruism, all these things are leverage points we can use, and we just decide to do this from this very moment, like from today onward. You can say, I will interrupt every negative thought I have and replace it with a positive thought. Why not? What will you lose from doing that except your ill health?
Well, and you know, that's a really good point, because I know a lot of people that really, they hang on to that way of being because they're familiar with it.
Yes.
They're familiar with it. And so even though they may not like living like that, or they don't like their environment, they're almost bound by a fear, as it were, to change that,
Yeah, it's actually really hard to change because, again, our internal biochemistry is set. And so if you're used to living in a stressful childhood, for example, then as an adult you'll tend to recreate those same stressful circumstances in your marriage or in your work or whatever. So it's quite hard to shift this. But energy psychology is the key.
Right.
Because you can't easily shift it by just saying, I'll do that, but change the energy and suddenly your cells will go along with it.
Yeah, it does take a focused intent, if you will, and it does take follow through in order to create that. And you know, we talked a little bit in between the break here of places that people can go in their own cities. Maybe you could explain about that for them to get in touch with somebody that does similar type of work as this.
Yeah, if you go to the GenieBestseller.com website, there are links to practitioners, there are links to all these therapies, there's links to research, there's links to places you can study this stuff. So that one site is G-E-N-I-E, GenieBestseller.com, and that has links to our research institute and all of the resources I mentioned on the show.
And, you know, that's I think, Dawson, is probably the most important thing, is to let people know that after this show, after they're done listening tonight, is that they can stay right on the Internet if they're listening via the web. If they're not, they can certainly go in and get on through their computer. They can go in there to your website, which is Genie, G-E-N-I-E, as you said, bestseller.com. Go in there, research it, look at it yourself. Also, on one of your websites, I know you've got several of them, you have given some information about what's in the content of this book, Genie in Your Genes. I think that is a really good idea because it does kind of introduce people to the idea of what is in this book. And I highly recommend for everyone to really purchase this from you. If nothing else, is to really find out what else is available out there besides what we would call traditional medicine. And I know that you have some other places for the book to be purchased, and you have some special offers for those who are listening to the show tonight.
Yeah, there are lots of freebies on that GenieBestseller.com site. If you go and buy the book through that site, then you get a link to all kinds of other free gifts and downloads that you can obtain, which you don't get if you go just through a regular retailer.
That is absolutely awesome. Well, do you have any other last thoughts for the audience before we let you go and get on your merry way this evening?
I say the big lesson is love yourself, accept yourself, nurture yourself, be kind to yourself, fill your whole world with self-nurturing and self-love. Doing that one thing, and letting go of all the self-criticism, self-hatred, self-questioning, self-talk that doesn't serve you, that one thing can have a big effect in your life. And so whatever it takes to love and nurture yourself and release that stress, that emotional trauma, go out there, find those things, do them, apply them, and you'll be amazed how good you can feel.
And how good your life can be. And, you know, that's only beneficial to those loved ones around you and the people that you share space with on a daily basis. How
and
awesome.
That's the whole world, yes.
Absolutely. Dawson, this has just been absolutely a delight. I'm so glad that you were here with us tonight.
Thank you, Rebecca. It was a joy. Thank you.
You betcha. You guys, hang on. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Rebecca Jernigan. I would like to share with you some information about my friends and colleagues at the American Association of Professional Psychics. Here are their founding principles to uplift the public image of professional psychics. Distinction through ethics, professionalism, and credibility. To provide positive press and publicity for certified psychics. To provide assurance that certified psychics are authentic, ethical, and professional. So please check them out, certifiedpsychic.com, or call 1-800-717-7887. Again, that's 800-717-7887. You'll be glad you did.
For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate is a factual magazine containing articles by experts in all walks of life and by others just like you who have something dramatic, significant, and truthful to say. Keep up with the latest on all aspects of the paranormal, angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your free Fate magazine, call now, 800-728-2730, or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730, or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate waits.
Hey, I'm Bonnie Raitt. Remember how excited you were as a kid to go back to school at the end of the summer? Seeing old friends, making new ones, getting new books in a new locker, a clean slate. And music class, that special room where you went to sing and perform with your friends and learn all sorts of interesting stuff about great composers and instruments and different kinds of music. We remember our music teachers because they were so passionate about helping us learn to love music. They helped spark a love for listening to notes and voices and rhythms that continues to enrich our lives even today. Know what? I bet your kids feel the same way about music class. Ask them, and make sure they get involved with music in school this year.
A back-to-school PSA brought to you by MEMC, the National Association for Music Education, Gibson Guitar, Baldwin Piano, and this station. Music, it wires the brain for learning.
Listening to the first half of Journeys with Rebecca. And for those of you who have to leave us at this time, we thank you for staying with us. And you might want to talk to your local station there to be sure that they can pick up the second half of Journeys with Rebecca. Now there's going to be lots more coming up in the second hour. We have interviews with Puran and Susan Bear. So stay with us. We'll be right back after this short break.